Well, next up, the psychic madman joins us. That's right, Jim Carroll. And his bag of tricks, his latest work is called Beyond Emotional Intelligence. This guy has an incredible ability to remember everything. Everything. You throw out a zip code, he knows where it is. I've tried stumping him. I've gotten a close, but not a lot. He has memorized 80,000 zip codes. I'm taking him to Vegas. Of course, he's been to Vegas. And we'll be back with Jim in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back. Jim Carroll's intuition and memory skills are truly beyond belief, like our TV show. I'll tell you about that, by the way. He was on it with me. He has accurately predicted the Pennsylvania lottery, hundreds of sporting events. Some of his memory abilities include knowing more than 80,000 zip codes, as I mentioned, the Scrabble dictionary, and so many other digits. And I understand, Jim, you were one of three people to win the $1.6 billion Powerball. Is that true?
Don't I wish. Wow, that would have been awesome.
Oh, my God. Now, there's truly a difference between knowing numbers with an incredible mind and making predictions and being psychic, right?
Well, definitely. That's two totally different things. Knowing the numbers and the zip codes and the, you know, memorizing decks of cards and things like that, that's all accomplished through memory. And psychic is psychic. I mean, who could explain that? I don't know. My God. You know, like that lottery prediction that you talked about that I had years back, that was a dream. And I was just talking to Tommy about that. So that could be a psychic dream or whatever, but it has nothing to do with a skill that
that's right.
I train
myself. I mean, so you do have psychic abilities. You're the psychic madman.
Well, you know, I guess I do. I don't know. I'm not really a madman. I don't know how I got tagged with that name. But yeah.
You launched your career as a mentalist in a kind of a somber way, didn't you? You had a heart problem?
Well, yeah, that was, my gosh, I was 49, about to turn 50, and doing really good, doing card tricks and things like that in the college market, and I ventured into the mentalist type of show, and all of a sudden I had these chest pains, and went to the doctor, and he gave me the news and said I had something called cardiomyopathy, and I didn't have any idea what it was at the time, and he told me it was a weak heartbeat, like the heartbeat of a 90-year-old guy, so I said, "Oh, any other good news?" He goes, "Yeah, you have an enlarged heart." Right? I said, "Well, that's good. At least I have a big heart." He goes, "No, this isn't funny, you know." And so I didn't know what to do. I went home. You know, what are you going to do? 50 years old, you're about to turn 50,
and yeah.
So I started going on an exercise bike, and I took my deck of cards. And to keep from being bored on the bike, I would try to memorize them faster and faster and faster. And, and I got it down to under a couple minutes where I could memorize the whole deck of cards. So I got bored with that. So I began to make up flashcards and started memorizing countries and capitals and zip codes and Oscar winners. And I was like memorizing digits of pi every day, you know, like 3, 1, 4, 5, 2, 6, 5, 2. I got up to like, I think 60 or 70,000 digits. I got bored with that. So, and it just kept going and going and going and going and going. And what I discovered, it was tapping into energy. Like I was becoming like energized, more energetic. And most of all, my memory was getting a lot better. And I was getting in physical shape because I was doing 30, 40 miles on the bike. And it seemed like it was like I was on for 5 minutes. And about 10 years of doing that, When I was about to turn 60, my life insurance was running out, and I was turned down because of this cardiomyopathy. And when I went back to the doctor, I said, "Hey, I'd like to get another test." And believe it or not, I had no cardiomyopathy. So, wow, that was really, really strange. So that motivated me even more to really turn it up about five more notches, George. I really started the memory stuff, force feeding myself. Instead of just doing it an hour a day, I was doing it 2 hours a day. And then I started lifting weights and bending my 60-penny nails again like the Mighty Atom used to do when I was younger. And here it turned into this. I don't know what's going on, but now it's almost like I stumbled upon the fountain of mental youth. So it's really cool, and I love it. So it's and now I'm using these abilities to teach others. And So we'll see where it goes from here.
Have you ever had your brain scanned? I mean, is it unusually active?
Yes, I did. I don't want to mention the hospital, but yeah, they scanned. I was in a MEG, an MRI, the whole thing. They did the whole thing, and it was like my frontal lobe, my parietal, the occipital lobe, the temporal lobes, all your four lobes, they were like four times as thick as normal. So
wow.
Evidently, the cognitive fitness, or whatever you want to call it, brain exercise that I've been doing for 10 years is miraculous. It's a miracle what it does for you. It's a miracle. But most of all, it produces this energy. I mean, I'm so energized. Like when I get down to work out, lift weights in my basement, I put on my rock music. In fact, there's a chapter in my book called Sex, Neurotransmitters, and Rock and Roll. And my God, it's like I'm a 20-year-old kid again. It's just
good
amazing.
For you.
Yeah.
Mind over matter.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is, George. Mind over matter.
Now, you are very well known. I mean, and everybody, Jim, that I know who knows you loves you. And, you know, you do a lot of Hollywood work. You've been on some big shows. You were on with Leno, Ellen DeGeneres. You've done it all. How did that all happen for you?
Well, you know, as the years, you know, I never had a PR firm or anything like that. I would make these calls myself, George.
You did it yourself?
I would call, yeah. In fact, that's how I got, it was always a dream to be on your show. I mean, I would drive late night from college to college doing these shows, and I'd want to get home instead of staying overnight, so I'd put on Coast to Coast. And no matter what, I swear, because no matter what city you're in the United
States. There we are.
Yes, yeah. You are. And I would love, especially some of the topics of UFOs and things like that. And I'm like, wow, I would love to be on that show. I'd love to be on that show. And sure enough, bingo, here I am. I've been on it, what now, about eight times. It's just,
oh,
it's
I
almost
know
like
it.
Whatever you wish for, it can happen if you really, really, really think positive. And that's the story of everything I'm doing right now. It's amazing. And I remember I'd listen to you, and I'm like, oh, I'd love to talk to that guy. This and that. And one day I called up some lady named Lisa.
And that started it.
And Lisa's now a great fan. It's amazing. And Tommy, oh, man, this is, like, awesome. It's almost
a great
a dream.
Team. It is
but
a
yeah,
great
so, all, out of all the shows I've been on, there were a lot of, like, Howard Stern was a lot of fun. I've been on there a couple times. And but nothing like performing with George. My God, I had so much fun with you. So
you, let's talk about Beyond Emotional Intelligence, your latest book. Tell me about this, and tell me about the concept of this.
Well, what it basically is I stumbled upon emotional intelligence from researching online. I was trying to study the brain. I wanted to try to get to how am I doing what I do. I could not, you know, like a lot of doctors were even puzzled how I could do this memory stuff so easily. And from studying the brain, I stumbled upon this emotional intelligence, and I started reading up on it, like it's the ability to accurately read the nonverbal clues that people send out. And people with emotional intelligence, they radiate like a powerful, mysterious influence that draws people to them, the ability to relate and identify and manage the emotional state in people. And I'm like, oh, my God, that's me. That's exactly what's happening to me. And so that's when I started reading up on it and studying it. And now the reason why it's called Beyond Emotional Intelligence is I took it to like an extreme level. I mean, I really took it to an extreme level. Like, and now from doing all of these memory techniques that I do on the bike day after day after day, and I'm still doing them. And like I said, I stay up this late almost every night studying now. So, and what happened was it just like caught on and like, but the only thing is the only thing I didn't conquer yet out of all of the different things, like emotional, like to give you an example, like from doing this emotional intelligence, like it'll help you build like stronger relationships with people. It enables you to communicate with the people more effectively because you're able to read them. It raises your self-esteem, your level of self-esteem. And I began raising my level of self-esteem years and years ago when I began magic. So, like I said, I got into this emotional intelligence accidentally from learning all of these abilities with the memory. It's really bizarre because, like, I used to be shy and backwards when I was a kid. I mean, really shy. I mean, I didn't even date. until I was 22 years old. I met my wife at the age of 22.
Yeah.
And I couldn't even look her in the eyes. I was like real shy and backwards. And then all of a sudden, from learning a couple card tricks and stuff at the steel mill where I used to work, it built up my self-esteem. And I was able to look people in the eyes and this and that. And I'd see the reaction on their face. Oh, my gosh, that's so amazing. And it built up my self-esteem. And that's what I use now to build other people's self-esteem up when I do this, because I know it works. So, and self-esteem is a major component of emotional intelligence. And there's like a lot of like positive thinking is a major component. Obviously, physically and mental exercise are both, you know, really, really important. And building up the and believe it or not, George, you know what else I found over the years?
What's that?
Playing poker is a big, in my opinion, playing poker is a major, major component to achieving higher emotional intelligence.
Really? How come?
Well, think about it. It sharpens your ability to read the people across from you to tell if they're bluffing or not. Like, you know, everybody's reading each other.
Everybody. That's why people wear sunglasses sometimes,
exactly.
Right?
Yeah. And besides that, it teaches you how to handle, like, the stress of the game. I mean, playing poker can be very stressful, especially if there's a big pot and everything else. And these are all components to emotional intelligence. So, like I said, I've been doing emotional intelligence for the last 15 years and never knew it. And when I read up about it, I'm like, wow, this is like me. And that's when I really turned it up, and that's kind of what I'm doing now. And then from doing the reading of the people, George, it got so strong that you can almost look in somebody's eyes and tell when they lie or tell the truth. And, you know, like, kind of, you know about that.
Yeah, we've done that with you.
Yeah.
Those tests. I mean, they're amazing.
Yeah, and that's what the book is basically about. It's about emotional intelligence. There's a lot of tips in the book on how to improve your memory and things like that, and how to read people, and like the different tips of reading, spotting lies, like watching for blushing and fidgeting and
look eyes moving the other way and stuff like that.
Yeah. And you know what? And somebody, now I don't know if the people wear the sunglasses for this reason, but I don't know if you noticed or not, but your pupils, everybody's pupils dilate when they get excited, all right?
That's right.
So therefore, say a person across from you has pocket aces or pocket kings, I'm not looking at my cards. I'm looking at their face and their eyes. And if I see the excitement level go up a notch,
you probably figured they have those cards, right?
Exactly. So it's like a little fringe benefit here of doing all of this. And then the big fringe benefit is you get yourself in good shape. You help out your health. So that's why I wrote the book, and it's a very, very good book. And it's called, and I had a gentleman, a 73-year-old guy from Fort Lauderdale, who I'm teaching memory techniques to, and he's an attorney. His name is Dale Ledbetter. He's an attorney, and he loves magic. And so I started, he brought me down to Fort Lauderdale to teach some magic tricks, and I started teaching him the memory, and he's going to be 74. The guy actually memorized all the presidents, every state and capital, all the countries. I mean, so you could learn this at any age. I mean, I'm teaching my grandkids. They're 3, 4, and 5, and Dale's 74. So whether you're 4 or 74, you can learn how to do this. It's amazing. And what it does is it just like boosts your self-esteem. It helps you out. And Dale, my God, I mean, his memory is so sharp. Like, I'll be with somebody at a group, and I'll say, hey, let me show you something. And I'll do something, and we'll make a call to Dale, and he'll know exactly what we're doing through the stuff that we taught with the memory. So it's pretty cool. You could have a lot of fun with it besides being educational and you know, so many fringe benefits here.
We had a friend years ago who, she had a horrible memory, just horrible. And she was watching television one day, and up popped a commercial for improving your memory. And in those days, it was VHS tapes. They were selling tapes to improve your memory. She got all excited and told everybody. And we said, well, did you order them? She said, no, I forgot the number.
Yeah, that, so many times, like I have a lot of people come up to me, oh, I don't know what to do. My memory's shot. And they're like in their 60s, you know, my age. And I'm there, what do you mean your memory's shot? Well, I was with Sally and we parked our car. We were talking and I was on the cell phone and we walked into the mall. We had lunch and when I come out, I forgot where I parked the car. I said, well, it has nothing to do with your memory. I said, it has to do with your focus. You weren't focused on where you parked the car. You're talking to Sally, you're on your cell phone, you're walking in the mall, you know, you have to focus. I said, it's just focus, because focus is actually a key to memory, all right? And then memory is a key to knowledge. So it's amazing. Some of the stories you hear and some of the emails I get from people is amazing. So what I want to do now, George, is I want to start, besides doing what I'm doing with my site and with the book, I want to take it up a couple notches and have an, I don't know, I don't want to call it an educational site, but a site where people could go and they could watch me on video, teach them how to do some of the stuff like that I teach down at the military, for the military.
It is teachable. That's the important thing.
Definitely, definitely teachable. I mean, I travel every month now to like Walter Reed and Fort Belvoir, and I help our military, the guys suffering from like PTS.
Really?
I call it PTS, but it's PTSD.
Now, what do you do for them? How does that work?
Well, I teach a class down there at Bethesda, and then I teach a class at Belvoir, and I teach emotional intelligence, how to improve the memory, and some of the examples are like amazing, and some of the results are amazing. It's I can't believe how these, they just, the results are amazing. I mean, I'm touched by this. Like I'll teach them something simple, like I'll start with teaching them celebrities. I call it my anchor system, all right? But it's unlike any other anchor system. Just to give you a couple examples, I mean, just to show you how easy it is, I won't get into detail, but like say number one, they have to remember Denzel Washington, okay?
Yeah.
And an easy way to remember that is just remember Washington crossing the Delaware, being the first president, and you'll remember Denzel Washington as number one, all right? And then number two, for example, would be Brad Pitt, okay? Now, how do you remember Brad Pitt too? Well, B for Brad is the second letter of the alphabet. Brad Pitt, two syllables, and there's two T's on the end of Pitt. So therefore, Brad Pitt is two. And then let's jump ahead. Well, I don't want to bore anybody with this, but I say four, George Clooney. Okay, four, George. Six is Chris Rock. Seven, Sylvester Stallone, all sevens. So now if you know one is Denzel Washington, two is Brad Pitt, four is George Clooney, six is Chris Rock, and seven is Sylvester Stallone. And then I go all the way down. I teach him about maybe 15, all right? Then the next day, we start spreading it out. I call it my mental matrix. What I formed in my head, I'm teaching others. So if you could learn these celebrities, watch this. The next thing I teach them are the states of the union.
Jeez, now, and they really grasp that?
Yeah, well, listen, here's how easy it is. The first state of the union is Delaware. Okay, and you already know Denzel Washington is number one, so therefore you'll know the first state of the union is Delaware. Now, here, you're going to guess this. Now, watch. The second celebrity is Brad Pitt. What do you think the second state of the union is? If you think of the last name Pitt.
Pennsylvania.
Exactly. Pittsburgh, PA. You're getting it. Now, here's an easy one. Four is George. Now, you don't have to use celebrities. Four could be George Norrie. In your list.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's list is different because no two brains are alike. So now four is George Clooney. The fourth state in the union is Georgia. And here's a really cool one. Six is Chris Rock. Now,
Rhode Island.
Think of Plymouth Rock.
Ah, Massachusetts. Boston, Massachusetts.
Yeah,
Stay with us, Jim. We're going to take a break, but we'll be back with more. Welcome back. Jim Carroll with us. His website linked up at coasttocoastam.com, and that's Carroll with a K, jimcarroll.com. We're talking about his latest work called Beyond Emotional Intelligence, but he also has Psychic Madmen, Mind Games as well. And Jim, you are on with me on our Beyond Belief television show. I had a great time with you.
Oh, that was, I'm going to tell you something. You told me about the Tonight Show and Howard Stern and Ellen. Let me tell you something. I had more fun on your show, and I'm not just saying that. We had a blast.
That's because you scared the living daylights out of me.
Oh, with the spike and the bear trap. Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
Yep, folks, if you want to watch it, go to beyondbelief.com. And what Jim was doing was, well, you explain what that was.
Well, for the bear trap was the first part, and that was pretty scary for you. I have a bear trap, and I don't know, a lot of your listeners may have watched the movie Jackass Number Two, and I was if they watched the
You were
outtakes.
in that.
Well, yeah, I was in there. I was the card throwing guy. I was the guy that threw cards at Wee Man's butt and gave him shocks on the stool. And believe it or not, that was one of my claims to fame. And I love it though. I mean, those guys were a lot of fun. And I took the bear trap down there with me, George, and we did it in the outtakes. Like if you watch the outtakes of the movie, I'm sitting on the sofa with Bam and Steve-O, and I got Bam to punch it, and the Knoxville ended the movie with it. And so the bear trap, I had a lot of fun with that thing over the years. And I think the first television show I ever did it on was The Tonight Show with Jay Leno. And then when Jay was helping me get out of the trap, he got his fingers caught in it. So and he's there, ah, he's like, and that made it look authentic because it is authentic, you know, because a lot of people go, that's not a real trap. Nobody can stick their hand in it. I hear the criticism all the time from magicians. That's a fake trap. And you know it's not.
That's not fake.
Yeah. So the reaction on your face when I did that trap was priceless. Oh my gosh. And then the next segment, when we came out and I brought that spike out, it's a, and we'll tell your audience what it is. It's a spike. It's about the thickness of my thumb. So I'd say it's about an inch and a quarter thick. It's similar to the top of a railroad spike,
That's right.
but all chromed up and razor
With
sharp.
the spike facing up.
Yes. And so what I do is when I turn my back, George, well, you got to watch it. You got to go to Beyond Belief. You got to watch this because it's so funny. I do it. George covers, he puts two styrofoam cups on the table. One of them is covering the spike, and the other one is not. And then when I turn around, I quickly smash a cup as hard as I could with my bare hand.
Right down into what I thought was the spike.
And then when we lift up the other cup, the spike is there. So obviously, I made the right psychic choice. All right. So now it's George's turn to do
And
it.
I don't want to do it. I don't want anything to do with this trick.
Very reluctant. And this was not staged. That's what he did. He had no idea I was going to do this. And so I said, now turn your back, George. Turn your back. And so I put the two cups down and I tell him to turn around and smash a cup. And he looks at me with this horrified, amazing look. All right. And then I said, well, just put your hand over one of the cups. Put your hand over the cup where you think the spike is not. And he puts his hand over the cup. I lift his hand up and smash it down on the cup to smash the cup. The scream that he let out is priceless. You got to go to Beyond Belief and watch that. It is a the
It
most
was a horrible
priceless
feeling.
scream.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it was. He was so. And then when I lift the other cup up, he's thinking that the spike's going to be there, and of course it isn't because I did not put the spike under the cup. I would
That's
not
right.
hurt my good friend George. I wouldn't want to risk
Now,
that. But
but when you did it, was the other spike there?
yeah, the spike was there, and like I told you, and we both had similar accidents. That's what was really, really the buildup. I actually had an accident once at a college
Oh.
because it was a late morning show. It was Orange County Community College in Middletown. I remember it's like it was yesterday, and it's real early in the morning, and you know I probably had to drive 3.5 hours to get to the place, so I had to leave at 6 in the morning. And when I get there, I'm doing my show, and the second last thing I do is that. And so I smashed the one cup. Okay, pretty cool. Then when I smashed the next cup, I felt this little tingle in my palm, and the horrified look on the audience's face. And when I look down at the top of my hand, there's a little dot of blood. The spike was beginning to come through my hand. Thank God it didn't come all the way
Oh
through.
my
And
God.
when I turn my hand over, here's this 1.25-inch spike sticking out of my palm. And then so I made the mistake of pulling it out, and then a big mess there. So I wrapped a towel around it and I continued my show.
Yeah. When I was a television producer back in Detroit, it's 1975, 76, 40 years ago. I can't believe it. But we would have scripts, and after the show, we would take the scripts and put them down on a spike. And then the next morning, the next people would come, and if they used it, they used it. If they didn't, they tossed them out. But everything was on that spike. Well, I had a pack of scripts that apparently they were too thick to smash through the spike. And, you know, you really only need like 10 pieces of paper. You could do that. These were about 20, 25. And so, Jim, as I took these 25 pieces of paper and slammed it down on the spike, it didn't go through. Instead, the spike moved because of the force of the paper and went right through my hand. Now, I don't even know it's through my hand. I didn't feel a thing.
Yeah, I didn't either. Yeah, isn't that cool?
There's a little piece of, I don't know what it is, in your hand where there's like no nerves. It went right through that. Didn't hit a vein, nothing. And I am standing there with my hand right, with the spike right through my hand. It's between my last two fingers, the little finger and the other one, that little tiny groove right there. It's sticking right out, and my director is screaming, and I can't feel a thing. And I'm looking at the guy, and I'm going, what's wrong? And he says, look, your hand. Then I look down and see my hand with the spike right through it, and I'm like stuck on the top of the desk with this thing sticking through. And so I slowly, like you, just kind of pulled it out. And no blood, nothing, just a hole, a little tiny hole. And I should have gone for a tetanus shot, but it was the weirdest thing. So every time you did that spike bit on Beyond Belief, I was thinking about that moment. and I went nuts.
Flashbacks, jeez. And then when you had to do it yet, when I put your hand down there,
it's something I would not recommend. Folks, don't do it at home. Yeah. That's for sure.
What's a little demonstration on trying to guess where, trying to read George's face? Like we did a couple things where you would pick, George would pick a card, and I'd try to guess if he's lying or telling the truth. And so that's when I said, well, let's make it a little more dangerous, and I brought the spike out.
Yeah, that's right. Mind games.
Yes, we had a lot of fun, though. But it's like, yeah, I recommend anybody that has a chance to go see that on George's site. Oh, my gosh, that is so amazing.
How do you know, you've been doing this now for a long, long time. Do you continue to perfect your mind, or are you at a point where, you know, it can't get any better?
You know what? I don't know where this is going. That's a good question, because I am still doing it. I am still feeding my brain information. That is the tip to everybody that wants to try to do this. Push your brain. You have to push it. Okay? You can't just like memorize, like here, I'll give you an example. Like if you memorize the ABCs, A, B, C, D, E, F, okay? Everybody knows the ABCs. Everybody knows how to count to 10.
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion, and from finding out with all these studies that I'm doing, like I study Mayo Clinic, Stanford's site, MIT. I study everybody's site on the brain. And what I found out was once you know something, your brain, and you have it memorized, you have a billion, probably 100 billion neurons, all right? You have these little neurons, these little connections, and what they do is they connect with each other and fire up, and they connect with neurotransmitters. I'm not going to get into it and bore everybody, but if they get, when they see the book, they'll know a little bit more about it. So what happens is these neurons, they fire up, and it's just amazing how your brain works. And the more you force your brain, this is what I'm discovering, the more you force your brain to memorize things, the more firing the neurons, the more firing takes place in your neurons. And what I believe, now I don't know if a lot of neuroscientists believe this or who believes this, I believe that you can actually have the birth of new neurons even well into your 60s and 70s. Your neurons don't have to die. If you work your brain and then exercise your brain and push your brain, it's amazing. And I am living proof of it. And so is Dale Ledbetter, who is 74, and he's pushing his brain. I'm telling you, this stuff is amazing, and it's all easy to do. It's not hard. You got to maintain that positive attitude. I know a lot of people, they're negative. Oh, I didn't hit the lotto yesterday, and this and that. Hey, it's you got to stay positive, and there'll be another lotto. There'll be another. I played that, and I boy, that would have been nice to win. What was in there? Like, what did it end up? 1.5 billion or something?
1.6.
Oh, my 1.6. Gosh. 1.6. But, yeah, so the brain is amazing.
Do
so.
You ever forget anything?
Of course. Oh, my gosh. Because
how can this be, then?
But here's what it is. It's not that I'm forgetting. It's like I told you before with the young lady that was in her mid-60s that didn't know where she parked her car. If you do not focus, okay, you're not going to remember because you never learned it in the first place. You weren't focused at the time. See, that's the problem that kids have in school, all right? It's not that a kid is stupid or anything like that, or they don't have a good memory, or they're not smart. It's their mind isn't focused on what the teacher or what the professor is talking about. Because I was one of those students, so I know. I never listened. I never cared when I went to school. Are you kidding me? You have to pay attention. You have to focus. And that's the only way you're going to learn. And to get to the knowledge level, you have to memorize first.
If you forget things, Jim, if you forget things, does that mean there's something physically wrong with the brain? That you're getting deficient in minerals or supplements or I mean, why do people start forgetting things? I mean,
I'm not, like I said, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a medical doctor in this field. I'm going by what I've learned and what I've studied for myself. In my opinion, it has a lot to do with nutrition. It has a lot to do with working the brain. It has
sleep. What about sleep?
Of course, you got to get sleep. You can't go on 1, 2, 3 hours of sleep every night and then take all of this, drink all of these energy drinks and that. You're destroying yourself. Like I said, you need to get proper rest, and you need to focus. And I'll tell you. Could I tell you how much time do we have? Could I tell you a good way to focus? I'll tell you.
Yeah. Go ahead. We've got a few minutes.
Okay. Now, when I go down to Walter Reed, I teach the memory stuff. Like here, that was about 20 minutes ago. Now watch this, George. Brad Pitt, what's the state?
Pennsylvania.
George Clooney, what's the state?
George Clooney?
Georgia.
Georgia, yeah. Well, we're going with the G now, not the B.
Yeah, Chris Rock.
Now, that was,
Massachusetts.
That's right.
And that's how it works.
See how quickly I forget?
Yeah. But so what I started doing was I figured the best way to improve your focus is taking a deck of cards, shuffling them up, removing one, looking through the deck, and trying to figure out what that missing card is. Now.
Ah, I see what you mean. Okay.
But now what
so
I
the
do,
52 like, cards.
Yeah, 52 cards in the deck, and you remove one. So what I do, now here's the deal. You're not going to believe this. Every deck of cards, there's 52 cards in the deck, okay? 52 weeks.
Take out the Joker.
Yeah, without the Joker. There's 52 cards, there's 52 weeks in a year. Okay, there's 4 suits, okay? There's 4 seasons, all right? There's 12 court cards, 4 jacks, 4 queens, 4 kings. There's 12 months. Now listen to this one. If you count all the spots in a deck of cards, ace being one spot, two being two spots, go all the way up to 10, and then jack is 11, queen is 12, king is 13, there's 364 spots. If you count the joker as one spot, that's 365, number of days in a year.
Mm-hmm.
Notice there's 2 jokers in every deck, leap year. No coincidence, huh? It's like a calendar.
Are you allowed in Vegas to play card games?
Well, some places I could play, but most of them...
They know you, right?
Well, yeah, I got, it's my own fault. I was playing around one time at the Borgata in Atlantic City, and I did a show down there, and after the show, people were following me around, and I got lucky playing roulette, and to make a long story short, they frowned on 3 consecutive hits. I got really lucky, 3 consecutive hits, and then they asked me if I had any electronics on me, and I go, no, I just willed it to happen. That was the worst thing to say. The guy did not have a sense of humor. You know what I mean? I thought, come on, buddy, I did a show.
And here's the bottom line. How did you do this? How did you pick three times in a row on a roulette reel?
Yeah. And here's the deal, George. The last one, I looked down at my sneakers. And you know, you see me a lot. I always wear red sneakers.
Yeah.
Right. And I love Michael Jordan. I mean, talk about emotional intelligence. My God, Michael Jordan, boy, did he have it. So I looked down at my sneakers, and Michael Jordan's 23. And so I said to myself, I'm going to put 23 red. And all of these people started putting their chips on top of me because I was like the Pied Piper. They watched my show, and they were following
They all made money on you.
Yes, they did. And then what happened was, just like everybody made money on that 2-2-2 prediction back in 19. But here's what happened. So that the guy, he takes me, he's talking to me, and I go, look, I just did a show here. And so he called the guy up that hired me because he didn't believe me. And the guy comes down, Jimmy Carroll, show him what you do with a deck of cards. And I did that thing that I did for you on your show where I shuffled the deck of cards and memorized the whole deck in like under a minute. And when I did that for the guy, he goes, that's it. We're going to ban you from here. I go, that would be great. I'd love to be banned from here. And that was the worst thing I could have said because actually I must have gotten banned from a couple of them because
they communicate with each other.
I guess you get on some kind of list maybe. I don't know. But, you know, hey, I'm not a gambler anyway. I just do this for fun. You know that. I do it for fun and I help people. You know, I'm not about gambling. But you know, talking about the emotional intelligence, right? Like you take a guy like Michael Jordan, okay? Because there's a chapter in my book called Sports and Emotional Intelligence, all right? And like Michael Jordan, just to give you an example, charisma, my God, who had more charisma than Michael Jordan? He always inspired his teammates. He was an amazing thinker.
Yes.
He was a good problem solver. He managed the emotional state in his fellow teammates. And probably if you looked in Michael Jordan's eyes, he was probably able to read you as well. All components of emotional intelligence. So that's what emotional intelligence is all about. That's why I'm so excited about this book, George. It's really, you know, the book is very, very helpful. And it's like, it's really a cool book. And Dale added a lot of stuff to the book, the gentleman from Fort Lauderdale. And it's going to be really, really cool.
Beyond Emotional Intelligence.
Yes. Beyond Emotional Intelligence. And it's there's like a chapter in there on cognitive fitness, you know, how to exercise, a really good chapter on memory. Then, like I told you before, sex, neurotransmitters, and rock and roll. And neurotransmitters are the connections that your neurons have. Like you got GABA, gamma aminobutyric acid, you got acetylcholine, dopamine. I mean, I don't want to bore any of your listeners now with that, but it's in the book. And very important. Neurotransmitters are so important. You know, it's amazing what you could learn even at this late age in your life.
Hey, Jim, we're going to talk about some exercises and then give us some tips on foods and other things that we could do to enhance the mind, and then we'll take calls.